or take it off and put it aside. He said, what we're laying aside, what are we to lay aside as Christians? As Christians. See, we have this idea that Christianity, you're like perfect. Positionally, you are, but not practically. Not practically. Sometimes our hearts are wrong, and sometimes our mouth engages in that wrong attitude, and we talk about it, we say it, we say what's on our heart, and if our heart's wrong, we will say that kind of stuff. And he says that he's telling us to lay aside what? He's saying to lay aside all malice, all wicked ill will. Lay that aside. I want to ask you a question. It's a personal question. You don't have to nod or anything. Really, no, I don't want you to go. I want you to think, have you ever, as a Christian, had wicked ill will towards another person? I mean, John, the apostle, in 1 John, goes crazy on this. About if you hate your brother, if you murdered your brother. Hey, how about this one? Hey, this is really fun. You ever wish anybody dead? Whoa, man, you went from preaching to meddling. You ever wish anybody dead? This is wickedness, wicked ill will. Take it off. Lay it aside. It's your decision. Because see, here's the thing about this. God gives us the grace to do that every day. Peter, in the second epistle, turn there for a moment. Would you please, chapter 1? 2 Peter chapter 1. And notice what he tells us. I mean, he's really going to say, look at verse 3. I'm going to read a few verses, but this is a killer. According to his divine power hath he given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him. Okay, so everything that we can grow as a Christian, we get it from the knowledge of Him. Right? Notice what he says. That hath called us to glory and virtue, by which are given unto us exceedingly great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature. Can you look at me just for a second? The divine nature, this is called the communicable attribute. These attributes are communicated by God. There are attributes that cannot be communicated. And those would be the three omnis, omniscient, omnipotence, and omnipresence. Omnipresence is everywhere at once, right? The three omnis. That is unique to God. And also the definition of His love. That kind of the love can be communicated. These are love. That's why it says the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering. Those are attributes of God, but they are communicated. And that's how we partake of the divine nature. We don't become God or become absorbed into God. No way. But we partake of the divine nature in those attributes that can be communicated by God. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering. So this is what the Word of God does. You partake of the divine nature through this, through the Word of God. And he says that you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust, and besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, or moral excellence, and to virtue knowledge, keep growing in your knowledge, and into knowledge, self-control. And in self-control, patience or endurance. And endurance or patience, godliness. And to godliness, brotherly kindness. See how this works? and brotherly kindness, love. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, look at verse 9. Park your papers on verse 9. Park those eyeballs on verse 9. But he that lacks these things, you catch that? He that lacks these things and cannot is blind and cannot see afar off and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. See, a lot of times when we have wicked, point back to 1 Peter chapter 1, or chapter 2, verse 1. A lot of times when we have ill will towards somebody, we've forgotten that we've been forgiven. We forgot how desperate it is for us, where it was for us. Did you ever have that? You think you're better than somebody else? You think that you somehow deserve the love of God? You don't deserve the love of God, neither do I. But he has lavished it on me. He's poured it out on me. When I trust in Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, I have forgiveness of sin. I'm a changed man. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. I'm brand new. He's given me a new life, a new vantage point, new purpose, and it is powerful. Powerful purposes. And he wants me to grow in my knowledge of him. But if I hold wicked ill will towards somebody else, and I want them to have, to die or to get hurt or something like that, is that reflecting God? Or is that reflecting my old nature? The old nature. This is why he's talking to Christians. He's not talking to those guys who are unsaved. He's not talking to them. He's talking to you. He's talking to me. He's saying, stop with the ill will. Lay aside all malice. Lay that aside. You know, I've got to tell you something. This is not like super insightful. I just got to tell you. Okay, can I really have your attention for a second? Some of us right here are really angry. They're really mad. I mean, they're really upset. Oh, we're not letting it out. We've got this control factor that some of us are really, really angry. And you might even be angry. God. For whatever reason, a death of a loved one, whatever. Why did you do this? Why didn't you work this out? Understand that God isn't thinking that way about you. He's not really angry. He is really loving. So why the disconnect? Because we're not allowing the love of God to wash over our hearts and our minds. Because sometimes we really like bitterness. And in one sense, it feels good for a little bit of time. But you know what bitterness is like? And then we're going to come to this a little bit. You know what bitterness is like? It's like looking at that person that you're really bitter at, and you take a tab of cyanide and wait for that person to die. You take the poison pill, and you wait for that person to die. They don't die. You do. And that's what bitterness does. Lay aside this wicked ill will. Lay this aside and notice that you've been forgiven. And then he's exhorting us to do this. And all guile. All guile. Now, I had to look up. In the Greek, The word in some of your translations will call it deceit. I had to look up deceit. Deceit. Merriam-Webster, deceit is equal to deceivable. Dishonest behavior, behavior that is meant to fool or trick someone. The act or practice of deceiving, deception, trick. Okay, so the behavior is to fool or trick someone. Okay, so lay aside all deceit. I'm not living it. Deceit, right? If the Greek word is dolkanon, now that's familiar. Lay this aside. You're not fooling anybody. You're not fooling anybody. I mean, we're thinking we're deceitful. We're going to trick somebody. You might trick somebody. You ain't going to fool mom. Fool some of the people some of the time. You fool some of the people all the time. But you can't fool mom. I don't know who said that, but that's not true. And you look at this and you say to yourself, wow, all guile or deceit and hypocrisies. Stop being a phony. Stop being a phony. I mean, really, just stop being a phony. Hypocrisy, we already talked, hypocrisy, living it, this is what it is. Who are you? Who are you? He says, lay this aside. Be real with people. Be real with people. Lay it aside. And that's exactly what he is telling us to do. So we're to lay aside malice, wicked ill will, all deceit, guile, and hypocrisies. And here's one. This is a killer. I'm sorry. Ouch, your amen. This is like a big time ouch. Envy. Much prettier than me. Oh, they're so taller than me. Or they're so nicer than me. I wish I. And then we get envious of them. Right? Well, we don't have to shake heads. I know this is right. You know why? Because it happens in my own life. I wish I was a better speaker. I wish they would have asked me to speak. I wish they would have done. I mean, even among preachers, this happens. Why wasn't I invited to that conference? I think I'm a much better speaker than that speaker. Called envy. And it's also called sin. It is sin. It's wrong. And so it comes in different forms. And we can justify this. Really, we can justify this a lot. We can say, oh no, but he, you know, and there must have been some political gamesmanship with that. Or there must have been, you know, all that kind of stuff. And we have this. We do this all the time. We justify it. He says, stop the envy. Stop the wicked ill will. Stop the deceit. Stop the envy. Stop the hypocrisy. Stop it. This is these are, by the way, if you look at it from a grammatical point of view, it says lay aside. This grammatical point of view means do it. He's asking us to do this. This is the decision we are to make. And this is an action we are to do. And then notice what else he says. So we renounce this and we bring in and then this is a killer. All evil speakings. That's just not square words. That's just not square words. Hey, did you hear about something? I'm just saying this for prayer. Did you hear? I don't mean. That is called evil speaking. I love it when I hear of a brother or a sister that somebody comes up to and is about to get evil speaking towards, you know, of another person towards it. I love it when they say, I don't want to hear it. Can we just pray for him? But you don't understand. If I give you this information, you'll pray better. We don't talk bad about gossip. And we need to. Evil speaking. It's just not bad words coming out of your mouth, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. This is talking about gossip. This is talking all evil speaking. Man, this is what it is. And then he shows us, so we renounce, renunciation. And now it's growth by spiritual inculcation. What? You take it in. Now, a bunch of you inculcated a whole bunch of cookies today. I saw you. For me, I take those cookies. I don't even, there's no crumbs with my cookies. No. Boom, they're gone. I put the whole thing in my mouth. Gone. I mean, I just, boom. I'll show you sometime. It's amazing. I mean, and those who know me just know that that's true. In my truck, I have no crumbs where I drive. You know, in the driver's seat. No, I go, boom, gone. Almost with a graham cracker, too. I can almost get the whole thing in my mouth. You know, it's true. It's true. And he can even do the chubby bunny thing, you know. And it's just like amazing. What are we to do? As newborn babes, we're to take in and inculcate into our lives the Word of God as newborn babes. Notice this. Now, Ashley, she eat a lot. Yeah. Yeah, it's a newborn babe, right? Now, I'm living in a room here in the thing, and I heard a baby cry. I don't know whose baby it was. You were crying? But it's your baby, right? And I loved it. I loved the cry. It didn't bother me at all. I miss my grandson. And I miss that. I love babies. I really do. I really love kids. And I heard, I'm going, shut that kid up! But see, you know, it's an interesting thing. What's your name?
Joy.
Laura?
Joy.
Joy. Is it Joy?
Yes.
J-O-Y. J-O-Y? Joy. Cool name. What's your child's name?
Ellen.
Ellen?
Ellie.
You know, when I heard her cry, I knew that that was... She was alive. I knew that. And you probably did too. You know, I picked up Lauren from Ashley today, and Lauren just... I just can't believe it. I'm such a touch. I have such a touch. I just immediately start crying. And it's just amazing. But what that does is it indicates life. And it indicates a desire. Babies don't say, Mother, I would sure like to have the sincere milk. And I would really like to grow. Thank you, Mother. And I'll be waiting over here patiently until you change my diaper, too. Not going to happen. What do they do? Well, as a newborn babe desires, we are to desire the milk of the Word, because that's what we are. Now, I don't know how old you are. I met a guy who's 78 years of age, and he's only been saved for 8 years. So he's got saved at the age of 70. He's a great guy. When he got saved, though he was 70 chronologically, he was a baby in Christ, a newborn baby. Peter is telling us, in contrast to this, you renounce these other things, but inculcate the pure milk of the Word of God, that you may grow by it. Starve a child. I saw the Humane Society, a dog that was starved to death, almost to death. A dog that was almost starved to death. This thing, I would have taken the owner, if I would have seen the owner, and punched their lights out in love. This dog was like a skeleton with skin on it. And that's a dog.
The Humane Society took that dog. The dog couldn't even walk. And they bottle fed it. They IV'd it. Bottle fed it. They just kept feeding it over real slowly. Kept feeding. Then they showed pictures about a month and a half later. And the dog was running around, fully fleshed out, fully, you know, like a puppy, a normal dog. It was just so beautiful to see. But see, don't let our lives be skeletal remains in our Christian life. Take the Word of God and it'll make you mature and you'll grow by it. You won't starve to death. You won't starve on this. You will grow. You will get stronger. You will know how to handle life. And you want to know something? You won't even think that you're doing it. People will just, who haven't seen you for a while, will be amazed. Look at how tall you've got. Look at how older you are. That's fantastic. Isn't this wonderful? You look at this. And so your child, you guys are allowed, right? What's your name?
Peter and Leah.
What's your last name?
Brubakers.
Brubakers? Your parents see this child much? A lot?
Is there our parents?
Yeah.
It's not very often. They both live out of state.
Okay, so wait till they see this child. They're going to go, they're going to say this. Look how much bigger they are. This is amazing. I can't believe this. See, when we're in the midst of this, they saw it every day. They saw this child every day. They would go, then they're going to see the radical change. If they don't see it every day, they see the radical change in terms of growth. This is incredible. This is incredible. This is what we want, the growth that God gives. And this is not that we want people to be marveled about it. We don't even think about it. It just happens. When I first got saved, I was in a relationship with this girl named Carol. Nice, pretty girl. And I thought I really loved her and all this kind of stuff, right? I received Christ as my personal Savior. Carol did not. I never forget when Dave said to me, he said, "Chris, this is in the basement. I just trusted Christ." He says, "Things are going to change in your life." I go, "Really?" He says, "Yeah, things are going to change. You're going to grow. You're going to change." I go, "Huh." I have no idea what he's talking about. I just know that I'm saved. Brand first day, right? So a month later, I'm taking Carol home. She's not born again. I am. She goes to me and she says, she's sitting in the passenger seat and I'm taking her home. And she goes, "You know something?" I said, "What?" She goes, "You're different." I'm going, and went right back to what Dave said. I replayed it. "You are going to be different. You are going to change." Wow. I went right back to Carol. And I'm going, "Wow." I said, "Really?" She goes, "Yeah, and I don't like it." Yeah. That was bad news. She asked me. And not a question. She just she just axed me out of her life, and it was hard to take and all that kind of stuff. But I never would have met my wife. I never would have had. I mean, the Lord is so gracious, so very gracious. We want to grow by this, and then look at verse 3, because it's a really growth by spiritual appreciation. If so, you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. We want to taste that. That the Lord is gracious. Oh, man, how sweet that is. How sweet that is. We had this guy one time. I ran a Christian coffee house called the Salt Company. And it was on the street. It was a storefront. Across the street was a bar. These guys were nasty. This bar got closed down by the cops all the time. Fights, all this kind of stuff, right? We're across the street. They would take their bar glasses with the big bottoms, you know. They had this big, thick glass at the bottom. Then you have your beer and all that. And you drink. They would take those and stand outside the bar across the street and lob them at our picture window. See if they could hit it and smash it. And they were successful. Our window had so much duct tape on it. It was like a shade.
I mean, these guys, and finally we had to go to plexiglass and little strips of plexiglass and put it in there instead of, you know, so the thing would bounce off it, you know. I mean, that's what we had to do. And it was amazing. So we go over there and witness to these guys. And one guy was a guy named Ray. And Ray, you know, long hair, paisley, this is in the 70s, right? Bell bottoms, long hair down to, like, to here. And he's, you know, hey man, what's up, you know. Wow, man. And so, you know, and Ray, you know, a lot of times he was loaded. So Ray, one day, we talked to him for, I don't know how long it was, a year, about Christ. So one day, Ray comes in with his glass of beer, half drunk. And he's loaded, man. Don't light a match near Ray, we'd all blow up. The fumes were really nasty. I mean, he was, And he's standing in the middle of our coffee house, and he's standing there with his beer, half drunk, and he's like. And I went up to Ray, and I said, Ray, real tactful, really tactful. Ray, unless you receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you're going to burn forever. That's what I said to him. He looked at me. I said, would you like to get right with God? He goes, yep. Okay, let's go talk. We went out in the back in an ante room and we talked. And I led him right through the sinner's prayer, all that kind of stuff. And, okay. I said, you pray that? He goes, yep. Okay. I'll see you. He staggers out. Oh, the guy's not saved. No way. The guy was so tamed, it was unbelievable. I mean, how could he possibly be saved? Right? 2 weeks later, we're having a Bible study in the same building. All these guys are on the floor because we had no chairs. It was a nice carpet. All these guys are on the floor. And here comes this guy. He's got his hair cut. He comes walking in and he goes, Ray Galasso, hi, how are you doing? He's got this biggest Bible you can possibly have. He's got his grandmother's Bible. His grandmother's Bible where you keep the leaves, you know, and all that kind of stuff and press them. That's the grandmother's Bible, you know. This thing looks like a Cadillac Hubcap. This is ginormous. And he's coming up and he goes, hi, how you doing? I'm Ray Galasso. I trust in Christ in my faith. And he's going right through the crowd, right in the middle of our Bible. How's it going? That's right. Nobody told him to come here. Nobody told him to put perfume on. Nobody even told him to read your Bible. He just started crying. He couldn't help it. And it was so fantastic. It was so fantastic to see Ray. He cut it. I mean, he did all the things that, you know, you need to do this. You need to stop smoking. You need to stop drinking. You need to, you need to do, you know, all this legal stuff, right? The Spirit of God did that. The Spirit of God did that. And he was a brand new guy. Growth. And not only does Peter state the purpose of salvation, growth, but also sacrifices. Notice verses 4 and following. By the way, I wanted to say one thing. Look at verse 2 for a moment. As newborn babes desire the pure milk of the Word. You know how you spell that in the Greek? I'm not going to use that, the Greek letters. A-D-O-L-A-N. Does that make sense to you? A-D-O-L-A-N. Adonai. If you have an A in front of the word, it means it's a negative. That is to say, without. Without deceit. Because deceit is D-O-L-A-N. The pure milk of the word, A-D-O-L, without deceit. That's what the Word of God. The Word of God is never going to trick you. The Word of God is never going to be false.
the Word of God is always going to be true in its integrity. Always. Always, always, always. And that's what we desire. We take in the pure milk of the Word. And so we look at this. Now he's going to talk to us about the purpose of salvation is sacrifices. Look at verses 4 through 7a. To whom, coming as unto a living stone, disallowed of men. He's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, but chosen of God and precious, or meaning honored. Who's chosen of God? This is ekklesiotos. Who's chosen of God? Us? No way. Jesus Christ. Does that mean he's chosen for salvation? No. It means he's chosen to his task. What was the task? To redeem mankind. Redeem mankind. To whom as unto a living stone. Now I find this an irony. Super big time irony. As being a former Catholic and thinking Peter was the first pope. And so upon this rock I will build my church. The Lord Jesus is never talking about that. Petros means a chip or a small stone that can aggravate us in our sandals or our boots or whatever. Jesus said, and upon this rock, Petra himself, I will build my church. Now you've got Peter, who is purportedly, well, first of all, he never was in Rome, and secondly, purportedly to be the foundation or the first pope, that kind of thing. Never was there, number one. And he's saying to all of us that we are little stones placed together in the, you know, together as a house. And I don't know if they have stone things on this, but you know what I'm talking about. Upstairs we saw that. I saw one of the little kids looking at the stones that were of those columns, you know. That's us placed in there, placed like this, and we're living stones. Isn't that an oxymoron? Living dead things? We've been made alive, you who were once dead and been made alive in Christ. Now we're living stones placed in the household. Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone. Paul talks about this in Ephesians. Paul talks about Jesus Christ being that chief cornerstone. And in the old days, the cornerstone bore all the load of the structure. Jesus Christ bears all the load of the structure of the church. He is the head of the church. Notice what he is saying here. You are living stones, verse 5, built up into a spiritual house, a holy priesthood. I'm a priest. I've had people say to me in the open air, excuse me, I really liked your talk. And this is in the open air now. This is like in Times Square. I really liked your... Are you a priest? Yes. But not a Roman Catholic priest. I'm a true priest. That means I can come boldly before the throne of grace and find grace and not at any moment. I have direct access. I like it when people say, you mean to say you've got direct access to God? Yes. As if that's bad. You know? How dare you say something like that? I understand your reverence for God and all that kind of stuff, but Jesus Christ gave me that access. I have that because I'm a priest. Holy priesthood. To offer up sacrifices. What kind of sacrifices? Spiritual sacrifices. Acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. The greatest spiritual sacrifice you can ever give. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Holy, acceptable unto God. Which is your logical form of worship, your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Romans chapter 12, 1 and 2. And I want that, and that's exactly what it is. I offer myself. One of the problems with a human sacrifice, or a live sacrifice, if you please, is we have a propensity to squirm off the altar. And we take back our life. Thus, the exhortation.
Thus the exhortation to know our sacrifice, offering up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also contained in Scripture, behold, I lay in Zion the chief cornerstone, elect. Notice this is talking about Jesus. Elect, precious, honor. And he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore who believed, he is precious. But unto them who are disobedient, the stone of the builders disallowed, and the same is made the head of the corner. That's a stone of stumbling, a rock of offense. People do not like Jesus Christ. That's their decision. It's a false reasoning for that, but they have that choice. And a lot of people don't like Jesus Christ. I talked to a guy one time, Rutgers University. I gave him, I said, here's some good, I just want to tell you that Jesus loves you, here's some good news. He looked at me, I hate God. I said, well, he loved you so much that he sent his son. He loves you. You might hate him, but he loves you. He loves you so much. So we see the sacrifice of the Son. We see the sacrifice of the faithful, and that's really our lives. Our lives. And then we see this, the purpose of salvation. Not only growth and sacrifice, but testimonies. Notice our testimony. It's a testimony of rejection. Look at 7. They rejected him. They rejected him. They're going to reject us. A stone of stumbling, the rock of offense, even to them who stumble at the word, being disobedient whereunto they were appointed. Hey, get the Greek on this one. A.T. Robertson says this regarding that verse. It wasn't that they were appointed to reject God. No way. What they were appointed to, it was the penalty. If they reject God, here's the penalty. That's what they were appointed to. So says A.T. Robertson, one of the greatest Greek scholars that ever lived. And it wasn't that God judiciously said, I'm going to wipe these guys out and I'm going to save these guys. That's not even in the Bible. Because God is no respecter of persons, right? Have you read that? He'd have to be if he says, I'm going to choose this before the foundation of the world. I'm going to choose this guy and I'm going to choose this guy. Oh, no. That's not the heart of God. God wants everybody. But you have to come through Jesus Christ. You have to come through Jesus Christ. So it's a testimony of rejection. It's a testimony of royalty. But you are a chosen, verse 9, a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, holy nation, a people of his own. King James says a peculiar people. That really fits me. That you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. A.T. Robertson says darkness is heathenism. He translates darkness as heathenism. In the world, we can use words like narcissism and all that, but heathenism kind of like covers it all. Heathenism. And so he's done this, and then we see this, a testimony of regeneration. We see this. Who in time past were not a people, but now are not, but now are the people of God. Who have not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Now we've done this because of him. It's a single act of conversion. We were lost, now I'm found. I'm born again. I know Jesus is my Savior. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I remember when I was whining and complaining. I was a student at Moody Bible Institute and I was whining and complaining all the work we had to do. You want what? As we'd say to the prof, you 4 books plus reports on each book? Plus the other just? Plus the notes? Plus the test? What? That was one course, church history. Well, you want what? You want us to do this, and then this, and then this. And I was whining. I was 3 a.m, and I'm living on campus with my wife. They hadn't been so married. And I'm pacing back and forth, 3 a.m. in our little dinky apartment, so I wasn't pacing very far. And I'm going, oh, man.
I don't know, I can't do it. Oh, I can't.
I'm whining and I'm complaining. Not supposed to do that either.
I'm whining. I'm going, oh, this is so tough. Really tough. Then
I looked outside, downtown Chicago, LaSalle Street. And I see a guy with his coat, he had like a blazer, it's cold March day, coat tucked in his pants, with one shoe in his hand. And he's staggering across the street. And I looked at that. And I said, really, thank you for saving me, because if it wasn't for you, that's me. That's me. Or dead. Because I couldn't handle it. I just could not handle life. I couldn't do it. I'm not strong enough. Neither of you. And I needed Jesus. Not only to forgive me of my sins, but to give me the strength to live a life. And this is what he wants. And to give me a powerful purpose. And I lost sight of that purpose. And I lost sight. And it was based off of what Jesus Christ has done for me. What he has done for me. And I praise God for that. We look at the growth, the sacrifices, and the testimonies. We need to understand these three purposes of salvation for our lives that Peter states. We need this. You know, in chapter 1 through 12, it's be hopeful. And versus the balance, the other verses, 13 through 25, be holy. Here, be purposeful. Be purposeful. Powerful purposes. He has done this for us. I hope you rejoice in this. Why should the Pentecostals have all the fun? You know? And since we're so reserved, you know. And listen, I praise God. I want it to be real. I get excited about the Cleveland Browns drafting number 2 in the NFL draft. I can get excited about that. You know, did you hear that? They dumped that guy! And that's unbelievable! And the Kansas City Royals, where's Will? Kansas City Royals. Did you get excited about that, Will? Yeah. Did you get excited? Did you hoop and holler, Will? Huh? A baseball game? All of a sudden, but we can't hoop and holler? I'm not saying go out and hoop and holler. I'm not saying that. I'm saying we reflect what's going on in the inside. And we can get excited about that. We can get excited about anything. It's just excited about how Jesus saved me. How I'm going to heaven. How he's given me the power to live. And he's given me a purpose that is powerful. And he's showing me what he wants me to do. And he's giving me all the strength and the wherewithal to do what he wants me to do. Hallelujah. Father, just help us to do this. Help us to understand this and see the powerful purposes that you have for our lives. And we thank you for the growth and the sacrifices and the testimonies that you bring. And we ask you to minister to us and help us. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.